the book of Mark, chapter number 6. The book of Mark, chapter number 6. And we're going to read a few verses, then we will go to the Lord in prayer. I'll give you just a moment to turn there, find your place. The book of Mark, chapter number 6. I said Mark, I meant Matthew. Did I say Mark? Well, I meant Matthew. Oh, we're studying the book of Mark on Wednesday night, so I guess I've got Mark on my mind. But Matthew chapter number 6. Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to read verse 24 down through verse number 33. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, the Bible said, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for letting us be here today, and all the many blessings that you've given to us. And Lord, I pray for thy help. I pray, Lord, that you would just give great liberty in the preaching of thy word. And I pray, Lord, for freedom of thought. I pray for unction. I pray that you would give us ears and a heart that will be open unto thy word. And Lord, that we would listen. God, that you would help us, that you would speak to our hearts. We pray especially this weekend for our young people, those that have graduated, those that are getting ready to go to high school, those that are moving up in all areas of their life. Lord, I pray that all of us would seek you and, Lord, desire to do your will with our life. And I pray, Lord, that you'd speak to our hearts today. If there's one here that's lost, I pray you'd show them their great need of salvation. And Lord, we just ask that you would have your way, and you would get glory and honor out of all that's said and done today. Help us in our vacation Bible school. And we pray, Lord, that your hand would just oversee all the different details, things that needs to come together this week. Lord, keep us healthy. Be with our teachers and bless and help them as well. And all the young people and all the adults that'll come out for the classes, we just pray a special blessing there. We ask it all in Jesus' name and amen. All right, let's go back to verse number 24. And we'll begin in verse number 24 today. The Bible said this in the beginning of it. It said, "No man can serve two masters." And so the subject before us today is the possibility of two masters the Bible talks about. And I would say that's pretty much the scenario that stays with us all the way through our life. No matter what age you are, where you are in your life, there's always that possibility of two masters. And it begins very early in our life, in grade school. follows us through high school and through graduation and college, our career after that, in all of life, we have this question before us, this possibility before us, two masters. Who are we going to serve? Who are we going to follow? Are we going to follow the God of money? Or are we going to serve the God of heaven? And the text, the context of the scripture, it's talking about money and things provided. When it says in verse number 24, ye cannot serve God and mammon. That mammon is money. It's talking about money. And it says here in the Bible, you cannot serve both of those. But who are we going to serve in our life? Who are we going to follow? Are we going to follow the path of mammon or money? Are we going to follow the Lord? Are we going to follow the ways of the world? Or are we going to follow the Lord? Are we going to follow Satan? Or are we going to follow God with our lives? And our text that we just read here in verse number 24 teaches that it can be one or the other, but you cannot serve both. So what it says in the last part of verse 24, ye cannot serve God and mammon. It says in verse number 24, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. We all know, if you know anything, you know it's graduation time. And as I've already mentioned, we have some that have graduated and we have Bibles. We're going to give them when they're all here at the same time. And I hope that's soon, but I was going to try to do that today or next week. Probably next week we have Bibles for all of our graduates. But we have people that are graduating. We have young people that are moving up. We have those that have graduated college. We always have somebody, seems like, in between careers one way or another. But when somebody is graduating, we wish them well. And we congratulate them on their progress or on their next step moving up in life. And a lot of times we say, Brother Adam came in this morning. I said, congratulations. Now what are you going to do? And I know young people, they hear that a lot. They hear that a lot. What are you going to do? Where are you going to go? What's the next move in life? But we kid them sometimes along those lines, but we do wish them all the best. We want the very best for our children, for our young people, for our graduates, our young couples. And so we say that sometimes, or we send somebody a card and we wish them the best. But we think about our text this morning, there's not only two masters, there's also two options here. When I say two options, what I mean by that, there is the best, and then there's less than the best. And I want us to read again in verse number 33. God's best is option number one. And anything other than that is less than the best. Verse 33, the Bible says, and this is just the verse I've had on my mind all week long. The Bible said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And I'd like to preach today on the subject, why settle for less than the best? Why would you settle today for anything less than the best? Yet we see that all the time. There's not a person in the whole wide world. There's not a company out there. There's not an organization or a college or anything out there as far as organized by man is concerned that could make a better proposition than what we find in verse number 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and look what the Bible says, and all these things shall be added unto you. Nobody could make you a promise like that, but the Lord does. No company could say, now if you come and work for us, if you come and dedicate your life to us, then we will make sure that all of these things. See, when it says all these things, that is spiritually, physically, financially, all the things that you are going to need in life will be added unto you. Nobody makes a guarantee like that. Nobody has the power. Nobody has the means to make that kind of offer. But God makes an offer unto us. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That is the best. Yet we see this all the time in our life and in our ministry. We see young people. We see young couples. We see people in their careers. We see God's people. I see Christian people all the time settling for less than the best and just living like the rest and missing God's best. I didn't try to make that into a rhyme, but it worked out that way. But we see that all the time. We see people settling for less than the best. So we want to try to preach on the subject, why settle for less than the best? And I want to give you some things to think about this morning. We'll try to go to our text as much as we can. But number one, I want to say, why settle for less when it comes to your future? Why settle for less when it comes to your future? I read an article a while back, and it was talking about our prison system in America and how much money is spent on every inmate to keep them, to feed them, to clothe them, and it's up in the thousands and thousands of dollars. But one thing we don't hear a lot about is how much is spent, or we do hear a lot about it, but maybe we don't think as much about it, how much is spent on schools, on books, on education, on programs, on community colleges and universities and counselors and recruiters and all of these things. All that money our nation spends, they spend in interest of the future. They talk about, now we've got to do this for their future, talking about children from a very early age and educating and training and all of these things. And we do that for the future. And that's good that we're doing that and thinking about that. But here's the thing. None of us knows what the future is. Nobody here today knows what tomorrow holds. We don't know what's going to happen when the sun goes down later on. We don't know where we're going to be and what we'll be doing an hour from now. And so we do not know the future. Proverbs 27:1 says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. We do not know the future. We can prepare for the future. We can think about the future. We can invest in the future, but when it comes right down to it, we don't know the future. But I'm glad that I know today that there's one that does know the future. There's one that we know that does know what tomorrow holds, and that's the Lord. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 24, the Bible says over there, man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? Man's goings are of the Lord. The Lord knows, but you and I don't know. I promise you I'm not doing what I thought I would do once upon a time. And most people are not doing what they thought they would do once upon a time. This is why the Bible tells us to trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. You say, preacher, you just preached on that a few Sundays ago. I know I did. But I know you're human and you don't listen. That's why you have to preach on something. Or they say you have to repeat something about seven times before people really get it. And that is the honest truth. That's why a lot of times when we make announcements, you're just wasting your breath. Nobody's listening anyway. Guaranteed somebody will come up after church and ask. And sometimes, many times, that's in my own family. I say, well, Brother Stephen said it. I said it. Well, I didn't hear that. That's how we are. And so if it doesn't bother you for me to say something twice, it won't bother me to say it twice, because I know that's how we learn. That's how we remember. But the Bible says to trust in the Lord. He knows the future. Now, I am not saying not to have goals, not to have dreams, not to have plans. This is part of what makes us unique, and we should have some dreams. We should have goals. We should have plans. We should have things that we're working towards in our lives. But what I'm saying today is what we need to do is find out what God wants to do first with our lives. Bible said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Find that out just ASAP in your life, as soon as possible in your life, and then pursue that course that God has for you. Man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? Find out what the Lord wants you to do, and then pursue that, then seek after that, then follow after that, because God knows the future, and you and I don't know the future. Paul said in Romans 12:1, he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto me, which is your reasonable service. And we say this all the time. Give your life to the Lord. Dedicate your life to the Lord. Come before God. Say, God, what do you want me to do with your life? It may surprise you. It may amaze you. You may say, Lord, not me, but I promise if you find out what God wants you to do with your life, you will not be disappointed. You'll be glad you did when you get gray-headed like me. You'll be glad and you say, I found out what God wanted me to do. And I know that He knows the future. You will be glad that you do. He knows something that we do not know, and that is the future. And we see in verse 25, He said this, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body more than raiment? God knows what we're going to eat tomorrow. God knows about all these things we worry so much about. Verse number 30, it said, wherefore if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? God knows about the future. He knows you're going to need this, and He knows you're going to need that. He's provided the grass of the field, and He feeds the birds in the world every day. His account never goes down. He knows what the future holds. Then it said in verse 34, take therefore no thought for the morrow. Don't worry about tomorrow. That's what it's saying. Don't fret about tomorrow. God knows about tomorrow. Why settle for less when it comes to your future? Trust the Lord with it. Second of all this morning, why settle for less when it comes to your faith? Now look in verse 25. I want to read this again and point something out. I think many times we just read over it, and we don't pay very much attention to it, but the Bible said in verse 25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? You ought to underline the second part of that verse. Look what the Lord is saying. Is not the life more than meat? Life is more than what you're going to eat for dinner when we get out of church. Life is so much more then what you're going to put on tomorrow, what you're going to wear later on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? More than clothes, that's what that word means. Now, we place all this emphasis on the physical things. What are we going to eat? What are we going to wear? How are we going to make money? Where are we going to work? Where are we going to do this? How are we going to pay for this? How are we going to get this? And we place all this emphasis on the physical things, but God places the emphasis on the spiritual things. And that's what verse number 25 is saying. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Life is more than money and clothes and cars and houses and careers and all of these things. The book of Jude, verse number 20, it says, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith." You see, your faith is holy. Your faith, your relationship, your walk with God, that is where the Lord puts the emphasis. The Lord never says building up yourselves on your most holy career. I'm not against careers, but careers change. And we have a career, and then we retire, and we don't do that anymore. That all changes in life, but your faith is holy. Your faith between you and the Lord, that is something that is constant. That is something, no matter what your career, no matter what your income, no matter where you live, no matter what is going on, that is something that God says, that's holy. You need to build up yourself on your most holy faith. We place all this emphasis on physical things, and they are important. It's important what we wear. It's important where we work. It's important to go to school and get an education and all of these things. You can't live in life without money. You've got to have it. And all of these things, we're not saying that's not important. We're not saying that's not important. Here's what God says, seek ye first. See, it's a matter of priorities. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God can take care of the careers and the money and the education and all of those things, but God said, first, seek ye first the kingdom of God, His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Things like this do matter. Your faith matters. What you believe matters. Where you go to church matters. What Bible you use matters. What music you listen to, all these things matter. You say, "Preacher, why does that matter?" Proverbs 22 and 6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it." Most people are going to get married, they're going to have children, and raise a family. Here's why it's important, because you're going to have children one of these days, and they are probably, well, let me put it like this. If our forefathers came back and lived among us today, they'd probably die. They'd probably think, "What has happened to you people?" They probably would be scared to go home and eat with us. They would be afraid that, you know, lightning would strike and the house would fall in on us. What I'm saying is most every generation goes a little farther away than the one before. And a little farther away than the one before. And that's why it's important that we endeavor to walk in the old paths of the Word of God, because we are responsible to train up another generation that's going to come along and hopefully pick up where we left off. These things are very, very important. Yet I see it all the time, young people casting away their faith. It's a problem that multitudes are raised in church, yet they go away from, never come back to. It's a problem. And the Bible says that your faith is holy. Young people casting away their faith. Young people quitting church. Young people not walking with the Lord. No concern about it whatsoever. Every time that you... Well, you probably don't do this very much, but I'll put it like this. If you go to visit in prison, if you go to minister down there and preach and hold services and try to help the men and the women, without a doubt, you're going to run into so many people that it will amaze you that'll say something like this: "I was raised in church. My daddy was a preacher. My mama prayed." Don't think that can't happen to you. We had a letter from a missionary, and one of our missionaries that we support, and they were talking about trying to help a couple that had got on meth and lost their children. And the bad thing about it was they were raised in church. They were homeschooled. They knew about the Lord and all these things, but their life's totally cast away. And now, problems and problems. Why would you settle for less than best when it comes to your faith? But yet so many count it a frivolous thing. Well, it doesn't matter. It's not important. It is important too. It's very important. Why settle for less? Number three, I'll move on. Why settle for less when it comes to your family? Verse 33 says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Seek ye first. Talking about what comes first. Talking about priorities. Do you know the very first institution that God created upon the earth was not a school? It was not a government to lord and rule over us and make rules and regulations and all these things. The very first institution God ever made was a family. Genesis chapter number 2, and God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and He took a rib out of Adam, and there He made woman, and He presented woman unto man, and He said, "Wow, I'll call her woman." Later on, He called her mother, because she was the mother of all living. But we find that God created the institution of marriage. And God told Adam and Eve, He said, "Go and be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth." He said, "Go and have children and multiply and be blessed in that." That's what God made first. Now that was a match made in heaven. You talk about perfect. I'm sure that the Lord, in knowing Adam and knowing Eve, I mean, that was a match made in heaven. And all the rest have had to have a lot of work because sin entered into the world. Adam and Eve done that to us. But all the rest. Now, I'm just going to be real honest with you this morning. I hope it doesn't get me in trouble. But life is hard. Do not complicate it by getting messed up marrying the wrong person, because you'll live the rest of your days regretting it. Why? And a lot of people, boy, they get in a hurry and they got to have this right now and, you know, all these things. But I'm telling you, you'd better make sure beyond any shadow of a doubt before you get serious with somebody. And I don't think you ought to even think about it till you're about 25 or 30 years old. But that advice goes out the window pretty quick. But you better make 100% sure that who you're giving your heart to, who you're going to marry, that it is God's perfect will for your life. Because all marriages require lots and lots of work and sacrifice and dedication, and then you still might not make it. I forget what the percentage of people who get married end up getting divorced, but it's really high. And a lot of them that are continue on in their marriages are not happy. That's sad. That's a shame. But I'm telling you, it's not like on TV that, you know, everything's solved in 30 minutes and they lived happily ever after. You're going to have to spend your life with this person we're talking about. Well, you better make sure that's the one. My dad gave me some good advice when I got married, and I know I'm one to talk. I was 18 years old when I got married. But I think we're coming up on 28 years. That's the exception, not the rule. So I thank the Lord. But my dad told me when I got married, he said, "Son, I'm going to give you some advice." He's about the only one that gave us any advice. If I had an 18-year-old that come into me and said they was going to get married, I think I'd smack him in the head and say, "What's wrong with you? You're crazy." But nobody told me that, so that's... But Dad said, "Son, I'm going to give you some advice." He said, "There is just a time when you get married with your wife." He He said, there's just a certain time of the month that she's not going to be herself. There ain't nothing you can say or do that's going to change that. You're just going to have to live with it. Now, I found out later the other 5 good days makes it worth it. She'll kill me for that. I'm just kidding. But you know what I'm saying? Life is hard. And then you take your life and you made it up with another life. And I'm telling you, you've got ingredients for something that's either really, really good or really, really explosive. You better get the right one. You better make sure it's not your mind, what you want. You better decide that it's what God wants. And you ladies, I'm just picking. Don't be too mad at me. If anybody wants to stand up and have 5 minutes to say how hard it is to live with a man when we get done, you're more than welcome to have it, but we got to be back at 6. So you're going to have to make it quick. I mean, I tell, and I live with 3 women. And it's hard for them to live with me, I'm sure. But now if this is on the radio, I want to clarify, we're not talking about 3 wives. But I've got a wife and an old teenager and a young girl, daughter. Man, I got them spread all over the place. That's an extra challenge. Wife, settle for less when it comes to your family. Life's too short to go through miserable, hating life. It's hard enough, just life in general. Better make sure. Here's what the Bible says. 2 Corinthians 6:14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. I can tell you right off the bat, don't marry, if you're saved, don't marry a lost person. But I'll say this, you ought to be the same in the faith, and you ought to be the same of the faith. I believe Baptists ought to marry Baptists. Methodists ought to marry Methodists. I've counseled with people. I'd tell you if you came to me. I believe Jews ought to marry Jews and Catholics ought to marry Catholics. If you can't agree on how you're going to worship, where you're going to worship, what you're going, how you're going to raise your children, how are you going to agree on anything else? Now, I believe everybody ought to believe like I believe. I take that back. I believe everybody ought to believe what the Bible says. That's the rule of faith for life. Boy, it's hard enough. You ought to agree on these things. You ought to agree on what the Bible says. Ruth in the Bible was raised a Gentile. She was a Moabite. She was a heathen. She was lost. But by the time she met Boaz, she'd become a follower of the true God. Then she married Boaz, and not before. There'd be a whole lot of sadness and heartache avoided in life if we would realize how important this thing is. Why settle for less than the best? The Bible said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Well, we'll go on this morning. I'll give you one more and I'll close. Why settle for less when it comes to your finances? I've been studying about this all this past week and before. But that is what the subject of our text is talking about. And I said that to begin with. It's talking about money. Verse number 19 said, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. It's talking about money. This whole passage of Scripture. The central lesson of it is our relationship between the Lord or money. And verse 24 says, ye cannot serve God and mammon. It's talking about money. Verse 25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what shall ye put on. All those things have to be bought with money. The Bible has a great deal to say about money. We're going to start our first lesson tonight talking about what the Bible says. So thinking about, if you're going to come tonight, you know what we're going to talk about? We're going to talk about debt, first of all. Boy, you want to start out on the wrong foot? Start out indebted. The Bible said in Proverbs 22 and verse number 7, the rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. Abraham was a great man of faith. He didn't walk around with a pocket full of credit cards. But that's ruining. So a lot of young people getting started off on the wrong foot because of easy credit. And the idea, I can have it now and pay for it later. Boy, you got that right. You're going to pay for it later. Amen. There's nothing more sickening than paying for things down the road that's been gone a long time. Credit cards will do that to you. But you don't have to live that way. But our society is geared to get you indebted right off the bat from high school. Most college graduates get out of college, they're already thousands and thousands of dollars in debt from loans and credit cards and things like that. That is an awful way to live your life. The Bible says the borrower is servant to the lender. Do you know what that word servant means? It means to be a slave. But we're anti-slavery, aren't we? We had the Civil War. That's 150 plus years ago now. Everybody, boy, they'll let you know I'm against that. But you're not against being a slave your own self. If you're going out here buying lunch on a credit card, if you can't afford to pay with it in cash, you ought to go home and have a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. You say, I wouldn't enjoy it as much, but at least it's paid for. You don't have to worry about paying for it next month. But if you're living life on credit, you are living life as a slave. And that is far, far than the best that God has to offer. And that's why the Bible says so much about credit and indebtedness and surety. And there's a whole lot the Bible has to say about it. God's people many times go on in ignorance of what the Bible says about how to live. How to live our lives. Why settle for less when it comes to your finances? Many, many things we could say today. Your finances, your family, your faith, your future, all of these things. God has the best. God has the best for each and every one of us. Not just preachers. Not just missionaries, not just, I think many times, God's people, their mindset is, all that's for the pastor or the preacher. That's talking about you. It's talking about you. I don't care who you are. I don't care what your career is or how educated or rich or poor or whatever. This is for you. Seek ye first. If you'll just put that first. You young people, in making decisions, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God knows what you need tomorrow. Trust Him with today. Follow Him today. Live for Him today. Do what you know to be right today. And you'll find out in your life that all these other things, they'll fall into place. God has a mighty, mighty big barrel. Preached on that a few months ago. That woman went back to that barrel, and every time she reached in, there was another helping of oil, and there was another scoop of meal. And as long as there was a famine, she went back and she went back. God's got a big barrel. I've been getting out of that barrel all my life. I've never needed that. I went and said, boy, it just wasn't there. It just wasn't there. Take no thought for tomorrow. What you're going to eat. Don't worry about all that. God knows the future. God's able to provide. Verse 33, one more time and I'll close. The Bible said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Why settle for less than the best? Like forced to have her heads bowed and her eyes closed this morning. I do